Good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we are coming to you live from a snowy radio ranch this Thursday evening, May 18th, 2017. And about 5, 6, maybe 7 inches of snow fell today, and there's still a little bit piled up on the roof of the barn, and it's springtime in the Rockies. That's how it goes. About 32, 33 degrees outside, and so it's melting pretty good, but it's starting to pile up. It got a little snow, so praise the Lord. Got to travel in it a little bit today, but got here safe, and everybody here safe, and the cattle are happy. They've got plenty of hay to munch on and bed down in, and so it is springtime in the Rockies, and we appreciate that. We do. Well, folks, the program is 7x70. It's one of the many programs we have here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network as we continue on with Scriptures for America ministry, as we continue on to build upon the foundation that our pastor built. That foundation, of course, built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and proclaiming the gospel, the good news, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and everything that goes with it. And we do our best to do that. We continue to put that gospel out, to spread the good news, the gospel message, and we do it because of your support. And so we thank you. Those of you that support us, you enable us to do these broadcasts. You enable us to pay for the shortwave and to continue to broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the truth of His Word, the good news that yes, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, came and went to the cross and died for my sins and yours and our sicknesses, so we don't have to carry Him. And He paid the price to redeem us. He paid, what a price it was. The Bible talks about that free gift of salvation, and it is. It's free because the price has been paid, and what a price. It wasn't free to Him. There was a great price to be paid. And He paid it willingly because of His love for us. So how ought we to be now that that has happened? Now that we have a God that has done that for us. How should we be? How should we be? Well, we'll have the phone lines open a little bit later tonight. We better start out with a word of prayer first, and then we've got a couple things that we'll get to. So let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this moisture, for this snow. Oh, how beautiful it is, Lord. It is just everything covered in white. And it reminds us of Lord, how we must look to you once we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That no longer do you see our sins, no longer do you see our frailties, but Lord, you no longer see our filthy rags, but you see us clothed in white, pure white, and forgiven, and perfect and blameless. And oh Lord, this blanket of snow that I look out and see here at the radio ranch, Lord, that reminds me of that, of that beautiful washing and cleansing that we get. We contact the blood of Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for making a way, for doing what we could not do, as we could not keep the law and be righteous that way. But Lord, you made a way to allow us to be righteous through the one who is righteous. And oh Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for this great day, Lord, this rain and this snow and this moisture, Lord, your earth needs it. We need it here for the crops and for the hay, and the farmers further east need it and down south. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would send your Holy Spirit. I ask for the Holy Spirit to be here tonight to give me the thoughts to think and the words to say for your people. To edify your people to love and good deeds, and to encourage them and to share with them the good news of the gospel. Lord, someone shared it with me years ago, and I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Father, thank you for your provision. For, Lord, the angels that you send, Father, we thank you for that. Thank you that you do answer our prayers. Lord, it is not as in the days of Gideon when he said, where are the miracles? Because, Lord, today we see the miracles. We see them and we acknowledge them and we thank you for them. We thank you for the supernatural healings. We thank you for the supernatural protections that you offer. Lord, we thank you for the safety and travel that you give. Lord, when the roads are closed, you open another road. And we just thank you for that. You are worthy to be praised. Praise ye the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for your people. I pray for your remnant, for those that return to you. Lord, for those that turn away from the world and turn to you and to your word. Father, for those that tune in to the broadcasts and do their best to walk that straight and narrow. Lord, as we all try to do. And I pray for them that they would be strengthened, that, Lord, they would be in tune with your Holy Spirit, that they would hear when you speak to them, whether it's in the early morning or the late at night or at lunchtime, whenever, Lord. But I pray that your people would hear you speak, that they would hear you when you call for them. And Lord, help us be found obedient. Help us all to be found doers of the word and not hearers only. Well, thank you, Lord. Be with us tonight. Be with me tonight. And I pray for your blessings on your people. And that, Lord, that your people and that us here, that we would bless you. Lord, help us. Allow us to bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Whew. Almost need sunglasses in here. That don't have any sun out, but boy, it is sure bright. It is sure bright with white on everything, except for the muddy road running through the middle of it all, but that's okay. Well, good weather here. Hope you're having good weather. Hope you're reading your Bible. We are in on May 18th on the Bible reading plan. We're in the middle of Jeremiah. I hope you're reading it. Last night during the Wednesday night prayer meeting was Isaiah 29. I know, 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. See, he has plans for us. He has plans for our children. When we return to him, Hosea 4:6 says, God says, if you forget my law, I will forget your children. Look around, folks. Does it look like we're into the third or fourth generation of people that God has forgot? It looks that way to me. The sin that's in the land. So how about this, folks? Let's break it. Let's break that. Because if our, let's say our fathers or grandfathers or great-grandfathers or aunts and uncles, whatever, those that have come before us, maybe they forgot the law of God. Maybe they forgot about God. Maybe they forgot about Jesus. What's done is done. We can repent of those past sins, and we can break that now. We can say, as far as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Because just as it says, if you forget my law, I will forget your children. Guess what happens if we remember his law? Guess what happens if we remember his son? We remember Jesus Christ, who came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Guess what happens if we remember his Ten Commandments? Guess what happens if we remember the two greatest commandments? To love God, and then we do love God. And then to love our neighbor as ourselves, and then we love our neighbor as ourselves. Guess what happens when we remember instead of forgetting? We remember what he instructs us to do, and we do it. Well, then he remembers our children. He does not forget our children, and he remembers them, and he pours out his blessings on them, and he protects them, and he sends his angels so that they will not stub their toe nor stumble when they walk. Praise the Lord. That is what he does. That is what his word says. Jeremiah 29:11, yesterday's reading plan. I know, he says. I know the plans I have for you. Whew. Praise the Lord. He has good plans for those. Now let's read the next verse. Verse 12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Then. And of course, this is after the 70 years. This is the message to the exiles. He says, after your punishment's done, 70 years. Then, I'll take care of you. It says even earlier in verse 4, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile, from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses. And I say this because it is again where we are today. We are in, our pastor taught, and we still believe, we are in a type of captivity today, a type of economic captivity that we are in today, and as well as a mental captivity. And so even though we are, here is a message of what we are to be doing. Build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. And that means life. That means you will have peace. And you will have good things. The Bible reference talks about that being peace, that welfare. And then it says, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years, you got to do this. That was the punishment that was due for 70 years. Then, verse 11, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans, good plans, he says. Not plans for calamity, but good plans. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And folks, let me tell you something. If you will repent, if you will acknowledge to God that he is who he is, and repent and confess your sin before him, and it may be something as simple as Lord, forgive me of my sins, both known and unknown. Because he knows them, even if you forgot, he knows them. And when we do that, this is what he says. You will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen. Verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Remember the New Testament in Matthew 7? It says, seek and you will find. When we turn away from the world and we search for him, when we desire him, when we want to change and get rid of the sin in our life, when we want to change and get rid of the sickness in our life, when we don't want to put up with that crap anymore, and we search for him with all our heart and we cry out to him, he says, I will listen to you. You will find me. You got to look. You got to search. You have to want. You have to want it. Anyway, that was yesterday's Bible reading. I was excited reading it. And then today's, I've got some highlighted. So today is Jeremiah 32 through 36, and in Jeremiah 32, it talks about again. With Jeremiah and the Babylonian captivity. But in verse 38 of Jeremiah 32, it's, they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And he says, I will continue, I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good. And it's good stuff. Good stuff. Hopefully you're reading it. Hopefully you're reading it. It will minister to you if you will read his word. If you will seek, you will find it. And if you will read his word, your faith will increase, because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So read it. Read a little bit of it out loud when you read it. Here's Jeremiah 35. Verse 15, turn now every man from his evil way and amend your deeds, and do not go after other gods to worship them. That really was not going to what I wanted to talk about tonight, but I guess I can jump over there because I've got kind of that same thing. We have a choice to make. And we read in here, turn now. Turn. See, you get a choice. You get a choice. You can turn to the left or you can turn to the right. Which way are you going to turn? Are you going to turn to the left and just do whatever you want to do with the goats and the dogs and the animals? Because that's when you turn left. When you turn left. Turn now, every man. Or are you going to turn right? You can turn to the right and do right and think right and be right. It's a choice. I didn't get it. I wanted to have that song Choices tonight, and I've got a few of the songbook CDs back here, but I don't know if I have that one. I can look here for a second, but the song Choices, Pastor did it years ago, and it was a rewrite. I forget who did it originally, but what a song. Whew. No, I don't guess I have it back here tonight. What a song. But it's choices. We all have a choice. Every day we have a choice. A choice to, like it says here, turn now every man. We can turn and continue on the evil path that we may be on. Or we can do as it says, turn from evil ways and amend your deeds. And do not go after other gods to worship them. That's the first commandment. Have no other gods before me. God says, hey, I'm it. Anyway, Jeremiah Bible reading. Our pastor's taught on it. Good stuff. It is good stuff. So make that choice. We do have that choice. But, I mentioned it before a few weeks ago in Matthew 12:33. We have a choice. And it's kind of a, not really a parallel, but I think they link together. But it's Matthew 12:33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. And I encourage you to read that. To read that whole bit there in Matthew 12, because it talks about a choice to do that. And that is not Matthew 12. I cut it out to put it in here, and that is not Matthew 12. Well, it's there in Matthew, and we are to do that. It points out that we truly have a choice. And we make those choices. Sometimes when we make them, we don't realize we are making them. We are unduly influenced by... We may be influenced by our parents. We may be influenced by our spouses. Children, certainly influenced by their... Hopefully by their parents, but by their peers. By their friends. We have to be careful that we are not influenced by the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, because there is a lot of his influence going on out there. There truly is. And the enemy will use in your mind the I word. I think, and then you fill in the blank. Or I feel, or I am, and you want to be real careful when you invoke the name of God that way in relating to yourself. Because when you say, if you say that, there is power in words. We have to remember that. And sometimes we may be influenced by the enemy to say things that bring a curse upon us. I am not sick. But if I say that I am, then guess what? I am. And so I am blessed. I am forgiven. I am renewing my strength like that of the eagle. I am in God's will. We have a book, a little book that the pastor put together called the I Am Confessional. And if you would like it, we'd send it to you free of charge. But it is a powerful book because it's full of scriptures and it's full of those God's thoughts that are our thoughts. How about that? It is not full of the enemy's thoughts that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So the I Am Confessional. If you'd like it, we'll send it to you. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And write in or send an email to preacher@sfaw.org and say, hey, send me that I Am Confessional. And if you will use that, if you will apply it, if you will read it, if you keep reading it, you will believe it. And that's what you need to do. You need to believe it. Because as a repentant, baptized Christians, we know there's power in our words, and we can either speak life or we can speak death. And we have that power. We have that capability to do that. By our words, okay? By our words, certainly by our actions. Certainly by our actions. But by our words as well, okay? And so we are to speak words of life. We are to speak words of truth. In Matthew 12, now this is Matthew 12, I'm reading it out of the book. Matthew 12, 37 says, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Well, what if you're using words that you really don't even realize? What if you are being influenced by the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and you are using words that are stealing, killing, and destroying? How about this? Turn away and change. Recognize that. Choose to take control of your words instead of having your words control you. How about that? Choose to do that. I know some out there that are cursers. We've got a neighbor that way. You can say good morning to him and it's good GD morning to you too. And he doesn't mean anything bad by it. But he is cursing and because he is unduly influenced. Got off on this tangent. This is not what was in my notes for tonight, but here we are. We've encouraged you to pray. We've encouraged you to pray daily the Lord's Prayer. We have encouraged you to pray daily, to put on the full armor of God. And we recommend that you pray it on your spouse or your children and your children. And that, of course, is addressed to the men. And we have encouraged you to do that. I want to give you another little tool that you can add to your prayer arsenal. Okay? And the prayer can be, I forbid the enemy to operate through my wife today. You can pray, I forbid the, and it is a prayer, but it is also a command. It is a command. Remember in Acts, let's flip over there in Acts, and I wasn't going here, but here we are. In Acts 3, Peter and John, the children know it, Peter and John went to pray, they met a lame man on the way, he held out his palms and asked for alms, and this is what Peter did say. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us! You look here!" And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from him. Oh, he received something from him, all right. Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. And then he reached down and he grabbed his hand. And this man that had never walked, this man that had been lame from birth, in an instant, in the name of Jesus Christ of the Nazarene, Peter reached down and, seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. Hallelujah. He commanded this to happen. He didn't pray to Jesus for Jesus to heal him. He commanded him. What I do have, I give to you. He spoke health and healing. He spoke Jesus into him. We have that power and authority. Our pastor taught on this for years. There is nothing wrong with praying and lifting our petitions up to God. There is not. But when we are doers of the word, we are given the ability and we are commanded to do this, to go and do. And we have this example of Peter there in Acts doing that, commanding that. And so add that to your prayer arsenal. I forbid the enemy from operating through my children today. And name your children. You can say, I forbid the enemy from operating through me today. And I encourage you to pray that in the morning. Hit it early. Have that command. Add that to your morning prayers. That is part of our Branson gathering is coming up in about 2 weeks. First weekend in June. So we're going to be here about another week, and then we've got to drive out there and set up and do that kind of thing. And so, but we'll be out there June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and have a good crowd coming, the people we've prayed that would come. This year's theme is sanctification. Sanctification. And I guess that's what's kind of got me on this, is sanctification is to set it apart. It is to set it apart for a special use. To sanctify a person would be to make that person holy. Would be maybe an example. To set apart the special china for when you have guests over. Now, we don't have special china. Growing up, my parents didn't have special china. She had better plates than the everyday plates that she had set aside for guests. And so you might say in a secular sense, in a real base sense, that those plates were sanctified just for guests. They were set aside. They were special. Okay? So that's kind of the theme, or at least the definition of the theme for Branson. And that's kind of got me on this I guess what I'm talking about tonight, because how can we be sanctified? How can we be set apart? And in John 17, Jesus says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And see, even just that one little statement, sanctify them by the truth, your word is truth. So sanctify them by the word. So we could say that we are sanctified. We are set apart by the word. Have to read it. You have to study it. You have to apply it. But when we do that, and it kind of ties back to what we talked about earlier, it's a choice. Choose you this day. Choose. Turn. We read about. Didn't we read about that there in Jeremiah? Flip back over there. Turn now, every man. Make better choices. Turn now, every man from his evil way, and amend your deeds, and do not go after God. Sanctify yourself is what it's saying there. Make yourself set apart. Be different. Don't be as the world. Be set apart for a special use. And one of the ways we can do that, we certainly have to be praying people. We have to be in prayer. Praying, lifting up our petitions to God, praying for one another, praying in the Spirit, praying at all times, praying for our leaders. in forbidding the enemy to operate in your life. Try that. It's kind of like the 10-day weight loss program, or maybe it's a 30-day. We'll just say 10 days. Hey, try it for 10 days and see if you notice a difference. It's real simple. When you say your prayers in the morning, in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of Jesus, by His blood, I forbid the enemy to operate through my life. I forbid the enemy to operate through my wife's life today. I forbid the enemy to operate through my children's life today, and name them. Try it for 10 days. Free of charge. Money back guarantee. Just try it. Are you up to accepting a challenge here in the middle of May? Try it. What have you got to lose? Maybe you'll lose some of that influence that you don't even realize you have. Some of that negative influence. The enemy comes with hateful words. The enemy comes with toxic words. The enemy comes with ungodly words and thoughts and actions. So if you find yourself wishing you could wring that brother's neck, well, you may need to ask yourself, where is that thought coming from? If you want to be sanctified, if you want to be set apart, if you want to be, in Romans 9, verses 22 and 23, it talks about vessels of wrath, and it talks about vessels of mercy. And so, God endures with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. But He makes known the riches of His glory upon vessels of mercy. Now I ask you, which would you rather be? Would you rather be a vessel of wrath that God is enduring with patience until your time of destruction? Or would you rather be a vessel of mercy that He is making known His riches of glory upon you? How about that? Remember Matthew, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You have that choice. You have that choice to be sanctified or not. And it is a personal choice. Choose you this day. Joshua 24. Verse 15, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you're living. Choose. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I say that reading Joshua 24:15, and I say that coming from Richard here at the Radio Ranch. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, you may not always agree with how we are serving the Lord, but if we are serving the Lord, it's how we're supposed to do it. Your service may be different. So make the tree good. Make the vessel good. Or make the vessel bad. Make the vessel a vessel of wrath. Because you know that's how we are apart from Christ. We are those vessels of wrath. Now there are certainly vessels of wrath out there that may be more wrathful, if that's a word. There are certainly those out there that are prepared for destruction. And there ain't no changing because they can't repent. It's not who they are. It's not what they are. They are creatures. There are creatures of instinct created for destruction that he endures with much patience. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm applying make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. And we do that. Certainly we've talked about it by turning to Him, by praying, by repenting, by being doers of the Word. And when you lump all that together, that's kind of what that word sanctify means, or sanctification. It's a separating of yourself, of your thoughts, of your actions, of what you do, because you want to do it. You want to be separate. But it's a separation unto God. It's a separation from the world. Now, it doesn't mean we're not in the world, but it's a separation from us being of the world. I want to be a vessel of mercy. I want to make the tree good. I hope you do as well. I hope you do as well. So that's just a few notes kind of that are on my mind of what we're going to be talking about in Branson. I know Brother John has a couple of messages to bring on it for the men and for the whole group there. And some of the other men are speaking, and I believe Jason's putting something together, and I'm working on some notes for it as well. Thought I'd give you a little taste of it, because it is it's a choice. It really is a choice. Do you want to be a good tree with good fruit, or do you want to be a bad tree with bad fruit? And the choices that you make is what determines that. You want to be a vessel of mercy? You want to be a vessel of wrath? I want to be set apart for God's service. I want to be set apart for Him to be able to use me in the best way possible. And I believe that God can use me better as being not of the world, as turning away from evil, as being a vessel of mercy, as being a good tree, and I'd rather be a good example than a bad example. How about you? I would. Hebrews 10:14 says, "Those who are being sanctified." See, it's not like baptism. Boom, it's done. No, sanctification is a journey, a turning away. Turn. Kind of like NASCAR. They make 4 left turns, right? Isn't that how that works? I don't watch a lot of NASCAR, but NASCAR drivers turn. They're always turning left. Turning left. They make those turns, and then there's another turn. And then before you know it, there's another turn. Well, that's how this Hebrews 10:14 tells us those who are being sanctified. It is a process. But we want to make a conscious effort, a conscious decision. I'm going to choose this day who I serve. And it's going to be God. I'm going to choose life and not death. Well, we've got about almost 15 minutes left. We'll have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913. Being sanctified, functioning properly for a Christian. How about that? Thinking the right way. Looking at the right things. Doing the right things. Thinking the right things. Godly Christian things. Doesn't mean we never watch a movie. Doesn't mean we don't watch the news. Doesn't mean we don't have secular friends. But functioning properly. Being the Christian God wants us to be. We want to be used for the purpose that God intends us to be used for. How about that? And the purpose that I want to be used for is a vessel of mercy, is a good tree. I don't want to be that vessel of wrath. I don't want to make the tree bad. And so we are to do our best to live according to God's purpose. Not how we think it ought to be, but how we see that it is in the Bible. Anyway, well, phone lines again, 307-745-5913. If you want to call in, we've got a few minutes left. Saw another ad, talk about some current events here. Saw another ad for Target. Target launches gay pride products. Target says they proudly stand with the LGBTDFer community. Well, isn't that sweet of you? You know, the tears stand up straight and tall and proud and haughty right before the harvest. Because that's when the time of harvest comes. It's when the wheat is bowed down low, but the tares are standing up saying, look at me, I'm part of it. I proudly stand. And that's just what this is. Take pride. Well, pride goeth before a fall. And folks, if you say you're a Christian and you're spending your money at this antichrist, faggot-loving, queer, sin-loving business that pushes and promotes, we're making our message loud and clear. Target proudly stands with the LGBTDF community. Through all that we do, says Laisha Ward, Target's executive vice president and chief corporate responsibility officer. Woo-hoo! A corporate responsibility. Wonder how she's going to like that title on Judgment Day. She boasted. Yeah, makes me sick. I haven't, since they Target came out with their transgender bathroom policy, I haven't stepped foot back in it. And I've told my family, and I don't allow them to either. I've told them not to. And I hope you don't. I hope you don't. Be a doer of the word. And tell people why you're not going to go to Target. And if they're a Christian, they shouldn't go. That's not judging. That's letting them know. Many people just don't know. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? The nice thing is that the Target stock value is about a third of what it was a couple of years ago. And there have been about 1.5 million customers that were our Target customers that have said, nope, no more. I'm not going to be there. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Says Target has, because of declining, dramatically declining sales and stock value, has forced Target to cancel expansion plans, to fire 5 top executives, and to cut their CEO by 1/3, their CEO's salary. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. I'm going to serve the Lord. And the Lord calls homosexuality a sin. And the Bible says, the New Testament says, those that practice homosexuality will not enter into the kingdom. It says the same thing about liars. It says the same thing about adulterers. It says the same thing about fornicators, about the effeminate. It's not a come one, come all, just the way you are. It's not. You may be able to come that way, but you have to change. You have to repent. You have to understand what sin is. And sin is transgression of God's law. That law that Jesus Christ said, I did not come to abolish, but that law that Jesus Christ said, I came to fulfill. Let's use the Bible to define what these things are. Sin is not just something that is displeasing to God. John mentioned a thing on the Wednesday night prayer meeting, and we prayed against it. And And it's this, I guess it's a TV series. Now it's coming out on Netflix. They can stream it and watch it. And it's based on a book. Of course, everything is. And I haven't read it. I haven't watched it. I'm not going to. But I did do just a little bit of looking it up of what the story was about. And it's this 13 Reasons Why. And it is about teen suicide. And it glorifies it. Oh, they have a little ad that says, oh, well, if you feel trouble, just call right here, the teen suicide hotline. But it glorifies it. It makes it look hot. They've got sex in there and hip and, oh, these young kids in high school. And, it's just the tearjerkers. And the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so thoughts of suicide is from the thief. It is not from Christ. Jesus said, I came to that they would have life and life abundant. Suicide is not life abundant. And so recognize that, folks. Recognize that. And talk to your children about it, and your nieces and your nephews and your loved ones. That thoughts of suicide are from the thief. They are from the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that is what this movie is. In Jesus' name, I curse this 13 Reasons Why. I curse it. I hope it fails. I hope it flops. Let it be pulled. Lord, wipe it from the internet, from Netflix, wherever it's at. Wipe it out, Lord. Wipe it out. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to come in and replace that which is wiped out. And bring your abundant life. Bring your joy, Lord. Your voice of truth, that the people's joy may be made full. And they would have that abundant life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think that's about all the time we got. No phone calls tonight. That's about all I had. Want to encourage you folks, come back Saturday morning. Join us Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And good Lord willing, and the creek don't freeze and rise, we'll be here. And that's Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. Mountain Time, 8 a.m. Central, and 9 a.m. on the East Coast. So you can sleep in a little bit there in North Carolina and in Florida. But join us, and we'll have the phone lines open, and if you have a comment or a question, then we'll be glad to talk to you. And then plan on joining us Sunday morning for church. You can join us at Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766. That's just the address. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. That's the website. And right on the home page, right there, click here for live video stream. And then you can do that. You can watch it on your smartphone if you want to do that. We check it on Sunday mornings to make sure that part's working on our phones. But join us. You can join us for a teaching from our pastor. You can join us for a live message from the Ramrod, from Brother John. You can join us for communion, where we remember what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did for us. We'll have some music, praise and worship music, and join us for fellowship. Even if you're 1,000 miles from anybody else, it allows you to partake in that fellowship and not forsake the assembly. And hopefully you've prayed that, forbidding the enemy to operate through you Sunday morning, and you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. Well, thanks for tuning in. And may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless those of you that are his, bless you and keep you. May his face and countenance shine upon you, lift his hand up upon you, and be gracious to you. May his peace be upon you, remnant. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
That's try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end. His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope in the promise that he brings, that there will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to you always.
This is